Welcome to Steppin' Out Radio, where every week you hear two stories of people that have done things in their lives that maybe they need to turn around, and they have done so, and we have stories of miracles. But today I want to feature something a little bit different. We wanted to interview somebody that has led the most extraordinary life and has taken all of the gifts he has been given and done such great things with it. And I am proud to introduce the co-founder of Def Jam Records. He's a media mogul. He's an author of his most recent book, The Happy Vegan, and many others. He's an activist, a philanthropist, an entrepreneur, and a wonderful human being who believes in meditation and giving back. Without further ado, I'd like to welcome Russell Simmons to Steppin' Out Radio. Welcome.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
Thank you for coming. And I have with me my co-host, Ronnie Goodman.
So, hi, Russell. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for coming on. Usually we begin at the beginning on Steppin' Out Radio. And in your case, if you wouldn't mind sharing with us how you started on your road to success and all the many things that you've done with, you know, all your talents, like I said earlier.
Well, I grew up in a lower middle class neighborhood in Hollis, Queens. Mm-hmm. And I was very fortunate to get out. A lot of my friends were victims of the drugs that filled our community. The heroin epidemic, we had a huge heroin block on the corner where people sold and bought heroin from all over Queens. It was the heroin capital of Queens. So it was a really bad experience for a lot of people. It destroyed a lot of lives and devastated the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Then the war on drugs, you know, arrested all the drug users and making them criminals and dropping them back in the hood. And then the cycle has continued from even when they began that war on drugs over 40 years ago. But anyway, I came from there, Hollis, Queens. I was very fortunate. I found hip hop when I was second year in college. And it was pre-rap record, but it was a industry that I loved. I started promoting artists. It was small, of course, most people didn't know what it was, but we promoted shows, and from there I made a record, and I built a career in a place that I was very fortunate to find a love, you know, rather than selling drugs, rather than doing the other stuff I was doing. I was now an entrepreneur promoting parties and concerts, small concerts, and then we made a record, 1979, Christmas Rapping, and that record, you may know, plays every year. Mm-hmm. And I've been working in hip hop ever since, you know, with movies and television and clothing and now all deaf digital. I've been in this space ever since. I caught other things that happened along the way, and we'll talk about some of those things. But that's, you know, as quick a history as I can give you of who I am, and although not the essence of me, but certainly my contributions and what I, you know, like to do from a business standpoint.
And you said when you grew up there was a heroin epidemic as there is now. Were you ever pulled? I guess you never felt the pull, right? That unfortunately.
No, the people slightly older than me shot so much heroin, they all died and went to jail. Mm. But the dying thing, you know, the overdoses and all. So we found new drugs. By the time I was in 10th grade, my friends were shooting dope in the 8th grade. But in 10th grade, the whole neighborhood was destroyed. So that next generation didn't do heroin. Wow. So by the time I was in 10th grade, you know, I was, you know, looking for new drugs, but it wasn't that.
Right. And I know you're... Like,
you know, LSD and you know, more happy drugs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but eventually angel dust and fun stuff, but heroin.
So as your time went on, you found something you were passionate about. And was it something that when you were younger, you thought, oh, this is what I want to do, or it just kind of came to you?
No, I was very fortunate. I was in the second year of school at City College, and I saw Eddie Cheever performing, and that became my purpose. I mean, I wanted everybody to see what I saw, and I worked in hip-hop ever since, but Eddie Cheever was the first contact I had with hip-hop, his performance at Small's Paradise in Harlem.
So you saw something in him that I guess, you know, probably many others didn't, and then how did that catapult your career from there?
Well, I started promoting parties for him and other rap artists. And that scene was evolving, and it was fun and exciting. It was safer than the path that I had chosen or was choosing. Mm-hmm. And I was lucky. You know, my friends died and went to jail, you know, over drugs and, you know, in gangs. I was in a gang. You know, all of my experiences that I had led me not to the same place as my friends, but instead to, you know, the hip-hop club where I saw Eddie Cheever, where I had the courage to make a change and maybe even the fear of what I was doing that I had to make a change. But those things contributed to my really investing my spirit and energy into being an entrepreneur.
And so, and you were only in your second year of college, so you're about 20, not even maybe at this time?
Yeah, 19 or 20.
Yeah, so, and then what happened next? You just, one led to the next and had it, everything become so huge.
We made a record. We made a record in 1979. Called Christmas Rapping, and that record played every Christmas, and it was Curtis Blow,
right?
And I was then a manager of a music artist as opposed to just producing rap shows. I had a hit record, and I was off into the music business, and no one liked what we were doing, but the records spoke for themselves.
Right.
The people liked them. The industry didn't like us, but the people liked us.
Right.
So we were lucky. And we continued, you know, I managed then a lot of artists after that. And then I started Def Jam in 85. I made Run DMC in 83, but I produced other records right before that. But Run DMC, 83, the record It's Like That came out. It was a very important point because it was the first big hit that I had produced.
And that must have felt great, right? What did that feel like? That must have been an awesome feeling, right?
Well, no different from watching Christmas Rapping or getting on a plane and going to Amsterdam. I'd never been. Or everything was exciting.
Oh, it must have been.
There's no moment more exciting than the next.
Right.
In terms of, you know, the world giving me return for the work, it was like I was getting return every day, you know, through some, you know, experience.
And so, I'm sure.
Yeah, but it was, making It Like That was empowering in that it showed me that I could do it. You know, as was getting the first record or, you know, and everything in between. I made a lot of records. I made records that were equally as good but didn't play as much. Jimmy Spice's Dollar Bill, Y'all, and The Bubble Bunch and Orange Crush. And also being involved in making of the Curtis Blow albums. You know, before I made Run DMC, that was exciting.
So this was just like you said, you traveled all over. And I'm sure it was hard work at first getting it on the radio stations, but... then after a while,
it was impossible.
And we're going to find out.
They used to say they played,
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
They used to say they played one rap record at a time.
Wow.
And that was, and then you know, later on, it's like all rap records, and they could never get an R&B record or a pop record on the radio. At one moment, it felt like they only played rap. You sing on the rap, but well, if you sang, you better have a rap in the middle. Or I mean, it really was a moment.
Right.
Almost no singing.
Okay. And we're going to find out how you got all these great rap records on radio and the rest of your career and how you really changed the world with everything that you've done. You're listening to Steppin' Out Radio. I'm Denise McIntyre, your host, here with Ronnie Goodman. We have the mogul, that's the only word I can use, the huge media mogul, Russell Simmons, with us. If you want to check out his website, he's got all sorts of books. His latest is called The Happy Vegan. You can go to rushcommunications.com or russellsimmons.com. And we'll be back with more of Russell Simmons' story up next.
More true stories of real people who clawed their way back from addiction are just a tap away with Steppin' Out Radio's new mobile app, available for iOS and Android devices. Go to steppinoutradio.com on your phone or tablet now and click the banner icon. Find that favorite episode, share it through email, or post it on Facebook and Twitter. Steppinoutradio.com has one-touch subscriptions for iTunes, Google Play, and all other popular podcasting apps. Find it at steppinoutradio.com.
Welcome back to Steppin' Out Radio, true stories of people that have done incredible things in their life. And the man we were just speaking with has done probably the most incredible things that most people couldn't dream of achieving, and he's Russell Simmons. And last we left, you were saying how everything was exciting. You were on planes to Amsterdam, but it was really hard to get these songs on radio, correct?
Yes, of course. Well, radio wasn't the only vehicle. The street liked what it liked, despite radio.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and a lot of the artists built careers in the clubs.
Right.
And the radio was last resort. Or, you know, they would have radio stations say all music and no rap, because rap was so big in the streets, but there was an audience that was so, you know, adverse to it that if radio stations would avoid it like the plague.
Wow.
It was one of the most loved and hated phenomena at that time. And also spoke of a lower, what they thought was a lower vibration. People whose voices mostly would not have been heard were not it for the music they made. And the stories they told were stories that people were either embarrassed by or didn't know about or were not interested in.
Right.
And it was a story of the poverty in the inner city and what it's like to grow up, you know. It was not aspirational music. It was truthful music. And that was a problem for a lot of people.
Yeah, and it did shine a light maybe on something that it might have. It certainly did. And it just, I mean, to this day, it's just so huge. But what happened next as life went along for you?
Well, in 1984, 85, we started Def Jam.
Mm-hmm.
I met this guy, Rick Rubin, who had made some records. I had a lot of records on the radio, but I heard one on the radio that was not mine. And it was called It's Yours by an artist named Tito Rock, and I wanted to meet the person who made it, and I met him. His name was Rick Rubin. He's, as people know now, one of the greatest producers in the history of the music business.
Mm-hmm.
And he and I started Def Jam. He already had the logo, Def Jam, on his 12-inch record, It's Yours. But then I was going to start a record company, but I abandoned my plans to partner with him to start one as a joint venture with him. And that's how Def Jam got started.
Wow. And so him and you proved to be a huge force. And then you did the comedy. You did so much also after that, correct?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We did Def Comedy Jam, which ran for 10 years and built Martin Lawrence and Jamie Foxx and Cedric the Entertainer and Bernie Mac and Chris Tucker and Dave Chappelle and Mark Curry and Bill Bellamy and, you know, lots of people came from there. Cat Williams came from there. Actually, you know, even Kevin Hart came from there. Def Comedy Jam was where all the urban comedians who had pop potential, mm-hmm. but were the kinds that most pop people would overlook.
Sure.
And so even to this day, there are no new comedians being introduced because that energy, that real urban energy, which is mainstream, scares the gatekeepers. So I'm in Hollywood now, and I guess my new job is to give these guys a break because there's so many that are bottled up and waiting to come out.
Sure. So is that why? Well, we'll get to that as we go on. Now, you've done so many things with health and with veganism and whatever. Was that part of your lifestyle back then? Like, how did you keep the energy to have all these balls in the air and keep going? It's just you. Just the way you were, or was it because of your lifestyle and or that didn't come till later?
Well, 20 years ago, I started to practice yoga and do meditation and, you know, a vegan diet probably 17 years ago. So I've evolved to make it easier for me to manage more things. Obviously, only through presence mm-hmm. can you do anything meaningful. You know, you can't do it from the future or the past, and you can't be transported by any vehicle or machine or anything. You can never be in the future or the past. And so the pursuit of presence, of pure presence, or what the Christians call Christ consciousness, or the Buddhists refer to as nirvana, the Muslims call taqwa,
mm-hmm.
God consciousness, this pursuit of this present moment, to be alive and awakened without the noise of distractions that cause so much suffering and sadness. Without that suffering and sadness, a person would be enlightened, right? But
right.
You believe as you practice use the tools that are given to you to move more towards this kind of consciousness, you believe that it's possible to realize full consciousness, but it also you start to make decisions and live in a more comfortable place. Decisions that are good for you, that are better for you than you would make were you listening to the world instead of your inner gut, and decisions that promote well-being and happiness rather than anxiety and sadness. So that's, you know, that's something I learned in my early days of yoga, that there was such a thing as Christ consciousness or nirvana. Mm-hmm. There was such a thing as, at least there was certainly a practice to make you happier. So you could look at yoga as the science of happiness.
And that's how it started for you, just by you started taking yoga and then you experienced this.
I went to yoga because there's so many hot girls in yoga.
There you go.
And I was just getting to ask you, Russell, in respect of that, I guess your discipline, your focus, and your inner strengths have all evolved even more so because as a result of having that lifestyle.
Yeah, absolutely. There is no no way that I would be this age and performing if I am performing, but whatever I am getting done, it's because of yoga and my lifestyle.
And you're vegan,
right? Yeah, I don't eat animals. I definitely don't eat animals. I mean, people say stuff like, "Oh, you're eating vegan." Like you're eating a dead animal that makes you sick, gives you cancer, destroys the planet.
You're eating something
that's destroying not only the planet, your karma. Oh my God, 100 billion animals made to be born through rape and any factory practice you can come up with. The most suffering you've ever seen, you know, goes into what you eat.
And then you do, and you do have that great book, The Happy
Diabetes.
Right.
We spend $300 billion American taxpaying dollars on diabetes.
Wow.
And we spend $40 billion on underwriting the destruction of the planet directly to the factory farming industries.
And it's only getting worse.
And we give nothing to vegetables. 17 million.
Wow. That's it. And just for those of you out there, Russell Simmons wrote
How do you graze over that? Do you want to go shoot yourself now?
No.
Two times?
No, I wanted to promote your book, The Happy Vegan. But yes, no, I do want to shoot myself because it's true. I mean,
why do you do it? Why do people eat this stuff? Why are people so unconscious as to contribute to such suffering and such sickness on their body, their temple, and destruction of the planet, which is inevitable if we continue to eat animals at this rate? The number one cause of global warming is factory farming.
Yeah, and I do agree
with
that.
Why do we have summits on, why does the Pope hold a summit on global warming and not mention factory farming?
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Why do we do it? Why are we still so it's like when people put people in ovens or when people enslave people or when people do things, you look back, you say, how is it possible? Don't they meditate? Don't they sit and let God give them instruction? What does it mean, dominion over the animals in the Bible anyway?
Right.
What does it mean? So you ask yourself these questions. You wonder how people can lose their way. It's a lack of insight into the self. The lack of self-knowledge allows the world and greed to take you in places that are not healthy and don't promote happiness, ultimately promote sickness and sadness.
Right. And we're not, like you said, we're not in touch with it. Well, we're going to find out more about veganism and also the yoga and what some of Russell Simmons' latest projects are. You're listening to Stepping Out Radio. I'm Denise McIntyre, your host with Ronnie Goodman. We'll be back with more of Russell Simmons' story up next.
Aren't these stories of addiction and recovery inspiring? Wish you could share them instantly with friends or even relatives? You can with Steppin' Out Radio's new mobile app. It's available for iOS and Android phones and tablets. Share that episode in an email, Facebook post, or tweet with a single tap on your screen. Download shows to your devices and listen while working, jogging, or lounging. Prefer a podcast? Steppin' Out Radio is on Google Play, iTunes, and many other podcast platforms. Go to steppinoutradio.com to subscribe. Yeah.
Welcome back to Steppin' Out Radio. I have with me the media mogul and the author of his latest book. He's the author of several books, but The Happy Vegan. He's a media mogul. He's an activist. He's a philanthropist. He's an entrepreneur. He is an expert in meditation and in just about everything. So welcome back, Russell Simmons. And last we left, you were correct in saying that so many of us and, you know, including myself. You're right. We're asleep. We're more asleep at the wheel. You know, and we do this show all the time and we hear, like you said, you know, you have to live in the present and it's one day at a time. But you're definitely, you know, giving Ronnie and I food for thought, no pun intended here. And hopefully the audience too, because you're right. I mean, the diabetes and obesity epidemic alone is, you know, going to kill all of us if we don't do something.
Not before the planet won't throws you off. It's going to keep spinning, but human beings won't be on it.
Yeah.
If we continue this process, I mean, it's coming really quickly too. That's why it's amazing that when you see imminent doom, mm-hmm. you were like, "Oh, we better curb what we're doing. We cannot continue." That 100 billion animals becomes 110 billion animals. Becomes the Western diet is growing everywhere.
True.
And in China, the middle class grows. So does their interest in meat.
Right. And they're all getting heavy like us.
Middle class grows. Yeah. So they all are getting this, you know, getting their McDonald's from us. Unfortunately, we are, you know, promoting our own destruction. But it's, I mean, look, we talk about it. There's a lot of people that are fighting and promoting. Shouldn't use the word fighting, but they're promoting a different way, and they're resisting the old way, and it's becoming more prominent in our community to discuss veganism and vegetarian. My publisher didn't want the chapter on vegetarianism in my last three books.
Really? Wow.
Then one day they came to me and said, yeah, and I didn't want the chapter. I said, why would you put that shit there? Then now they come to me and say, well, please write a book on vegetarian, on being vegan.
Yeah, because it's changing.
So, yeah, the world is changing. So hopefully in time to save the planet, but it certainly is changing.
Well, you just said something very interesting, Russell, about in our communities that the idea of not eating healthy, coming from the background of our culture, largely to speak, that the consciousness of eating right as a vegetarian and living right, apart from meat and other deplorable foods that just don't help you mentally and consciously and spiritually, has basically escaped us for quite a long time. I think thanks to you, largely in part, for my own consciousness, as mentioned here with Denise, I've been made more aware at my age, and I think we're about the same age, to start that process of thinking like that, you know, just to start the process of thinking like that. And I think our communities, thanks to you largely in part, has begun to get into that process.
Yeah, we just had Danny Trejo on the show, the actor Danny Trejo, and he just since you're in LA, you would like this. He just came out with a new vegetarian restaurant, and he felt the same way. I've worked with Mary Lou Henner on her radio show, and gosh, she's been vegan for years and cured her husband of cancer from the diet. And so it is. It's changing, you know, thank goodness. And hopefully
we have to do it very quickly. We got to do it quickly. But you know, I don't like to hop on. The book's called A Happy Vegan, where a lot of my friends are more angry. Like, they will literally throw paint on your coat, you know, and right. They probably should. But mm-hmm. I'll tell you, oh, that's too bad, but I wouldn't really help you, right? I mean, I just feel, you know, there's different ways to give the message.
Sure.
Some people are more radical.
Right.
And some say it in a way that after they've been radical and your eyes are open and your ears open when I say it, maybe. And you digest it and you move on away from what's hurtful into what's helpful, mm-hmm. you know, for your spirit and everything else. So, you know, it's a process. And, you know, we all got purpose. It's one of my purposes is to serve the animals, the planet, and the people on this subject.
You know, that's interesting you said that, Russell, too, as well, because it's the same almost mentality with addiction and sobriety, as with incarceration, which is so prominent on as well. And here at Stepping Out, Denise and I, for the last 16 years, have been working hand-in-hand candidly also in that regard for the consciousness of what you fight for with the governor and many others with the RICO laws and everything else, and how our communities have been just devastated in the matter of the incarceration through drug addiction, and how that has affected the consciousness and those who, again, don't look at it for what it is, but use it for something as a business, so to speak, as you pointed out and made so clear. And again, looking at what you're standing and fighting for even in that regard, is what I said to Denise in talking about Russell Simmons, that he would probably be the best person also to have this conversation with on all the levels, because Russell has always been a staunch advocate of that as well, just the same. And we applaud you for that. And I want to ask you, how much further are you working also with that situation?
Well, I've worked for 20 years to fight mass incarceration. And as you know, the incarceration of innocent diseased people and the education of those people in criminal behavior and violent criminal behavior, and then dumping them back in the hood without opportunity, you know, it's ruined the fabric of many of the communities of color in this country, destroyed the fabric. Is why you say, well, why are they rapping about that? Because that's the culture that came from jail. Jail culture is in our communities, and we continue to lock people up. A whole town, every single person of color went to jail. And, you know, when we changed the Rockefeller, that's an interesting story, it's a documentary about that. But when we changed the Rockefeller drug law, we found that 94.5% of those people who had been incarcerated under the Rockefeller drug law were people of color, even though we know that whites and blacks use and sell drugs at the same rate. So not only is it terrible justice, an injustice, to lock up people who are suffering and use drugs to alleviate pain, it is the worst fact is that the way justice was given is unjust on top of, so it is, it is something that I spent a lot of time on. You know, we push the Democrats on this, but we realize the Republicans are now coming in line, that they realize $60,000 to the prison industrial complex per prisoner is a waste of American taxpayers' dollars per prisoner per year.
Wow.
Shit, you can send them to college for that.
Really?
So this is a real problem. We have to change it. No country in the civilized world does this. Not even close. Not even a tenth as many of their citizens are in jail. And our citizens are in jail for nonviolent crimes. Make no mistake.
Wow.
The first time, for sure.
Do you think it's changed?
The overall number of nonviolent criminals far exceeds those who are violent, but the overall number of first-time prisoners is so mind-boggling. People who committed nonviolent crimes, mostly drug-related, 95% drug-related.
And then that, unfortunately...
No one you know has ever not used drugs because of the threat of prison.
Right, and then it stays on their record. Right, Russell? Then it stays on their record, which just... You know, spirals into another.
Come home, they have no chance.
Right. Once that's on your, you know, what they would tell you in school, but it's the truth, your quote, permanent record, you know, good luck. So that, we agree. We fight this all the time on the, you know, on this radio show. But we're going to be back with more of your story. That'll be our last segment, but we do have a few more questions. And you're listening to Stepping Out Radio. I'm Denise McEntee with my co-host here, Ronnie Goodman.
Yep.
And if you'd like to check out Russell Simmons' books and everything that he's doing, and we're going to talk about what he's doing now.
And done.
Go to russellsimmons.com. and check it out. And if you'd like to sign up for our free newsletter and drop us a line and tell your friends about, you know, all these great stories, check us out at www.steppingoutradio and sign up for our free newsletter. We'll be right back.
Bang! Caught you looking for the same thing. It's a new thing. Check out this I bring. Uh-oh, the road below the level, cause I'm living low next to the base.
Come on!
Turn up the radio. They're claiming I'm a criminal. But now I wonder how. Some people never know. The enemy could be the flint guardian. I'm not a hooligan. I rock the party and clear all the madness.
More true stories of real people who clawed their way back from addiction are just a tap away with Steppin' Out Radio's new mobile app, available for iOS and Android devices. Go to steppinoutradio.com on your phone or tablet now and click the banner icon. Find that favorite episode, share it through email, or post it on Facebook and Twitter. Steppinoutradio.com has one-touch subscriptions for iTunes, Google Play, and all other popular podcasting apps. Find it at steppinoutradio.com.
Commentating, illustrating, welcome back. You're listening to Steppin' Out Radio. I'm Denise. With me is Ronnie, my co-host, and also with us is one of our probably most prominent guests we've ever had on the air, and we're very proud to have him on, Russell Simmons.
The one and only,
and the media mogul who's done so much good. It's so great when people do so much good with what they have, because very often, as we see in the political world that we're going through now, very often people have all this power and money, but don't maybe necessarily use it for good. But Russell Simmons does. So can you give us also a little background on meditation and how, if somebody wanted to get started, how they could and how it helps you or helps people?
Well, begins with, I have a book. First thing I'll say is I have a book called Success Through Stillness, which is a very, very simple guide. Success Through Stillness. And, you know, it's available on Amazon, wherever. But secondly, I'll say that it's a very simple process. You know, you sit and you repeat a mantra to yourself, or you watch your breath, and you're patient. You put the alarm for 20 minutes. You sit, no matter what, the mind will settle. The nervous system will settle, and the mind will follow, always.
It's interesting. It's very interesting. And the mind will follow once the nervous system settles. So basically all the anxieties, all the frustrations, and even depressions and things that people end up receiving as a result of poor diet or lifestyle, meditation can, it has been proven, that will ease those things.
And how long do you have to meditate? Or I know there's no have to's, but is recommended to meditate?
I recommend 20 minutes.
First thing in the morning, or doesn't matter?
First thing in the morning, get up, stretch a little bit, sit comfortably, set the alarm, and begin the process.
And how do you know if you're succeeding at it? Just because you get this incredible sense of calm or clarity, or...
You don't have to know. You sit and the mind settles, and you don't have to, like, each meditation is different.
Okay. That's good to know too. Okay, thanks. And what are you doing now? We just read that, you're doing something with Spotify that, we just saw actually.
Oh yeah. We're producing shows all over the city, all Deaf Digital. We have 6 or 7 shows at HBO in development. We have a show at Spotify, which they announced yesterday. We have a show. We're working in film and TV through All Deaf Digital, and we're green lighting 15 to 20 pieces of content per week at All Deaf Digital. Because you know, Hollywood process is slow, but digital is not.
That's
so I'm
great.
Having a lot of fun in Hollywood now. That's my job. ADD, mm-hmm. Name of the company. All Deaf Digital.
Oh, I like that. Uh-huh.
And you can go All Deaf Digital on YouTube and look at some of the funniest things you've seen ever. You know, and a lot of comedy. There will be more social justice, and there will be more music. And there's a lot of poetry. If you go to All Deaf Digital, you also see we put up hundreds of poems.
Oh, I like that. Okay, everybody, All Deaf Digital, check it out. And what are the what will we see on Spotify? Or we just go to Spotify and can find you through?
Well, there's a show that what we produce for Spotify. What we're producing for Spotify is a show where an artist will get in the car and write a song and make a song in the car and perform it when he arrived at his destination.
Wow,
so that's a fun show.
Step it out.
Spotify,
yeah,
short form content.
Oh, that's really cool. And you're doing that, I read, with Tim Robbins, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And what else is ahead for Russell Simmons and Def Digital, Def Jam Digital, I'm sorry. What else is...
Well, again, Bill, I'm doing a bunch of film and television projects that are fun, and I'm opening a yoga studio in the fall, which is unrelated, but I'm opening at on 9020 Sunset. It's going to be called Tantris. It'll be a devotional space, which people don't really have.
Right.
And I think that's going to be fun.
That's great.
So...
And how are your girls doing?
My girls are good. They're in boarding school, but they'll be home in the next few weeks.
Oh, that's nice. And do they follow this path, you know, vegan and you know, the meditation or that comes later on?
They do meditate. They meditate regularly, yes.
That's great. And you've taught them how to do that. So what would you say to somebody out there listening who, you know, of course, admires what you've done and, you know, thinks that they can't maybe do it themselves? What would you say to that person out there on how they could, you know, maybe succeed even half as much as you, as you've done?
Well, you know, the success is in the heart, and happiness is what we're after. So if we operate from a happy space, we'll attract more things. Needing nothing attracts everything. So this goal of attaining yoga or God consciousness or this calm, happy space should be in the forefront at all times. The more you are present, the more awake you are, the more you can accomplish more in terms of giving the world. And if you give the world a lot, then good givers are great getters. So that's what it is. So operate from the inside out instead of the outside in.
Mm-hmm. And if there's something also to somebody maybe that is struggling with, I don't know, maybe feeling that they can't get out of their situation or that kind of thing, I guess try to find a passion like you had, right? And work at that.
But you know, anything that you do can be a passion. People are too worried about changing their inspiration from one thing to another so often. Just go to work. You'll find bumps along the road. You got to stay on the road, though. You literally have to stay on your hustle.
You do, and that, I like what you just said. You know, everybody thinks, oh, it has to be their passion, but maybe, you know, there's other ways too to do your passion and do your work too. And before we leave, can you just share with us some of the philanthropic work that you're doing?
The Rush Foundation, we underwrite art education for inner city kids. The Foundation for Ethnic Understanding, we bring rabbis and imams together around the country. There's a bunch of different social and political things that matter to me. We talk about the prison industrial complex. We talk about the factory farming industry being the most dangerous lobby.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about fighting money controlling our government. Our government is deeply flawed because of it. So those are the political things. And the social things, again, you know, the arts, we underwrite art education, like I said. So I just try to be a good servant.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a bunch of things I do in that space, but there's some of them.
And so you said something also like that I think is really profound, that we need to need nothing, which, gosh, so many people, I would say, don't have that feeling that they need to need nothing. I think we're all a nation of more and more we need. How did you get to your point of feeling like you needed nothing?
I didn't feel that way. I'm working on it.
Oh, okay. That's honest.
You know, Russ, little bit about
needing this. Less.
Yes.
Meaning
needing,
less.
Leading less.
Got you.
Or living below
you know,
your
I
means.
Mean, you know, you learn that these things, I don't care how rich you are, you can only sit your ass in one seat.
That's what I always said. Yeah. No matter how big your house is, you can sit in one room.
Yeah, I like the idea, Russ, of what you mentioned in regards to what's in your heart and doing things that become a passion, and then you can be successful at it. Stepping Out Radio became mine 15 years ago. We're in the armed forces, all four divisions of it, world over. So anyone can go and listen to a meeting, and particularly in sobriety or addiction of any sort, anywhere in the world. If you're on a plane, if you're on a flight, if you're in the studio, no matter where you are, you can just go right on the computer or app on your phone, you can do so. And we're trying now, as with what you mentioned, and broadening out to get into young people in college campuses and doing a Spanish version. And the funny thing about addiction is just like your fight with what you did with incarceration, it falls on deaf ears. It's like you just said about eating right and why do people continue to eat meat? Something that's not good. It just falls on deaf ears. So we've been fortunate to have this conversation with you, but more grateful to know that maybe through Russell Simmons' lifestyle and a friendship, we too can even further this cause of doing the right things in the community I came from. I came from Queensbridge with Nas and Marley Marr, and you and Gary Foster helped me a lot 15 years ago when I was that product of that law that you spoke about, who was a first-time offender as a user out of Queensbridge. And thanks to Step It Out and then Fat Farm during that time and things that you were doing, I was given that opportunity, and I stayed true with Denise with this situation here to stay in sobriety, and that's where I am today. So I'm very fortunate and thankful and grateful to you for where I am now and what I'm trying to do here continuously with Denise. And we'd love to have you to help us in any form or fashion in the ways just being real of what we can do further with this with our communities.
And we'll for sure spread the word about, you know, everything that you do as well.
Thank you for having me on your show.
Okay. And I want to just give out your website one more time. It's RussellSimmons.com, RussellSimmons.com. Check out all of his books, all of his shows. Check him out online. There's so much about this man that it's unbelievable. So thank you for being with us, and we'll see you when you go stepping out.